1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. That's all we read. I'm going to be very brief. Never tried to preach this way before. But 1 Thessalonians, Paul writes this letter to the saints gathered to the Lord's name. And he writes to the whole assembly. But when we come to verse 12 of chapter 5, he says that we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord. That is, this is addressed to those saints who are not shepherds or overseers as such in the assembly of God. So there's instruction, and we are told of the attitude of the assembly of God towards the overseers or elders in verses 12 and 13. When we come to verse 14, it makes a change. Now he says, now we exhort you, brethren, that is to the overseers, warn them that are unruly, and so on. But I was noticing first in verse 12, the attitude of the assembly towards the overseers and the elders. We're to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord. Now the Bible does not teach us that there's any dictators in the assembly. We know that men have taken a place oftentimes that God never intended for them. We find that in the third epistle of John. Diotrephes, he ruled the assembly. And those that he wanted to keep out, he would keep them out. But that is not God's mind. Those who are overseers, they have a work to do. They have a care. They are mentioned in the scriptures as shepherds. And they have a care for the flock of God. Now what's our attitude? Or what should be our attitude towards them? We should respect them for their work's sake. That is, oftentimes they're criticized. But may God help us. Those who have the rule over us, to bow to that which is, of course, from the scriptures of truth, which they would seek to bring before us and teach us. But we have the attitude, the respect for elders. We have to have respect for their ministry. If they see something, oftentimes they bring out from the Word of God that which would correct them. Now, I was young once myself. Many a time we got some instruction and some rebuke from the elders in the assembly. Well, maybe when you get rubbed the wrong way, sometimes you're ready for action. But we're not to be like them. We're to respect them for their work's sake, their labor and their care. And it is a labor to feed the church of God. That is, the elders and shepherds. They have to spend much time in the Word of God, seeking for spiritual food for the flock or the assembly over which the Holy Ghost hath made them overseers, that they may guide them and direct them aright. But our attitude towards them, we should respect them and obey them for their work's sake. They care for us. They watch for us. They are leaders. They go ahead and they lead the way. That is the work of the overseer amongst the saints of God. And our attitude never beat responsibility. And our attitude is to respect them for their work's sake. They are builders. They're building into God's assembly, seeking to build it up, to put a wall of protection around the gathered company, that those who of us who are in the assembly might be protected and guided. Then we find from verse 14, he turns the subject to the overseers, and he says, warn them that are unruly. Do we need such a warning today, or such exhortation? Are there those who are unruly amongst us? Well, when we come to the second epistle, Paul mentions those who stopped working, and they didn't work, and he reminds them to work and to fend for themselves and for their own families. Maybe they were waiting for the Lord to come. Well, we are waiting still, but yet we are to occupy until he comes. So warn the unruly, those who refuse to submit to the government. We are living in a world of unruliness. A lot of people oftentimes are against the government. In Canada, we change government seemingly quite often. But the work of the overseer, as Paul desires that they might be exhorted in this way, warn them that are unruly. Seek to put them into the path that will be well pleasing to God. And oftentimes we need to be put in. I remember many, many years ago, I went out with another brother to Wally or Surrey to have some gospel meeting. I didn't tell the brethren in Richmond what I was doing, but I was taken aside, and I was talked to very nicely, with love and with care. They said, brother, we would like to have share in the exercise that you have in spreading the gospel. I wanted to go out there, and we were going to, at our own expense, and that's what we did, and that was our exercise. And I told this brother that. But he says, that's not the point. You're in the assembly. You're part of that assembly. What you do should be in fellowship with the saints of God gathered to the Lord's name. There's no such a thing as a freelance in the Word of God to those who are gathered to the Lord's name. We are in subjection to those who have the rule over us. And when we're going to do something, it's courteous, and I believe it's wise, to let the brethren know your exercise and what you think of going to do. So he says, warn the unruly. Those who have refused to submit, warn them. And then he says, it's like a soldier breaking the rank. When one steps out of line, well, they need to be brought back in again. The assembly of God is as a flock. We're marching together. We're all there for the one purpose. That is for the glory of God. But sometimes there are those who are unruly, and they need to be brought back into line. Sometimes, and we might not like it, but yet that's what the scripture teaches us, that we should be kept in line, that for the glory of God. Then he says, comfort the feeble-minded. That is those who are easily swayed. Comfort them. They need to be encouraged. They need to be built up. We have those amongst us as well that need that. So there's these exhortations. Warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Now to support someone, you need to get underneath them. There are those who are weak in the faith. They need to be strengthened and supported. That's the work of elders, to see that they receive food convenient for them, that will build them up, and that they will be supported. And then he says, be patient toward all men. We need patience. We learn patience from Job. You have heard of the patience of Job. Well, Job was a patient man, and Job's patience is very educative for us. And also we find other Christians, believers, right through the scriptures, and they were patient. So this is what we are exhorted to do. Support the weak. When an infant cries in the family, you don't disown it. Why? Because it's weak. It needs help. We need to support the weak. But then we come to verse 15. He says, see that none render evil for evil unto any. Our nature is retaliation. Someone does something to me, I'm going to get my own back. We are exhorted, see that none do that, render evil for evil. If someone wrongs me, the exhortation of the scriptures is to take it. Take it to God, take it to the brother or sister that offends us, that it might be made right, that the unity of the assembly might be maintained. You see, the assembly of God is working together in unity. Psalm 133, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. When you get all believers pulling one way, then there's strength. But when you get some pulling the opposite way, that slows up the ship. We need, by the grace of God, see that none render evil for evil unto any, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Verse 16, rejoice evermore. We have a lot to rejoice about. The greatest thing that you and I can rejoice in today is God's great salvation. God has saved us, plucked us up as a brand from the burning, delivered from hell. That's a great blessing. That's something to rejoice about. The disciples, they performed a miracle, and they were rejoicing in that. But the Lord Jesus said, don't rejoice in that. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Are we rejoicing today because our names are written in heaven? May God help us to be joyful and rejoice. Then we find in verse 17. It says, pray without ceasing. Now we know that that doesn't mean to pray without stopping. In the Bible reading in Victoria Drive this morning, we read a prayer in Acts chapter 1. They were going to elect another disciple. And there's two little verses that we're told their prayer in. Their prayer was specific. It was short, and it was to the point. And they, after they had prayed, then they cast their lots. That's the last time, as far as I know in the scriptures, that lots is mentioned. But pray without ceasing. That is, we have been praying for someone or someone. That doesn't mean to stop, but keep on praying. God's delays are not his denials. I remember my dad prayed for me. From I was a boy of 9 until I was 21 years of age. I never went to bed once, but he got down by my side and prayed for my soul. Many a time I was under the influence of liquor. I was up and gone before he had finished. And he told me afterwards, after I got saved, he said, many a time I wondered, well, what's the use? Almost fainting to stop. Pray without ceasing. I thank God today that he didn't stop, but that he continued to pray. Now we have loved ones. We all have them. Somewhere in the family circle that are not saved. Laboring in prayer for souls. Elders labor in prayer for the saints. Their care for them, they seek to guide them aright. And that all is for the glory of God. And then it says, in everything give thanks. Now, that may be hard sometimes, but yet we are exhorted that in everything give thanks. Now I'm going to leave the rest of the time for our brethren, but these are just a few things that I noticed about a week ago from this chapter. Respect for the elders in the assembly. Accept their ministry, whether it rubs me the wrong way or not. If it's from the Word of God, it's right. And if I want to be right, I've got to get into line with the Scriptures. May the Lord help us to do it. His name's sake.